Welcome to the C3 Camden podcast. For more information about our church, please visit www.c3camden.church. We are so thrilled that you're listening today and we hope you enjoy the message.
So I'm just going to lead us around the word today. I'm going to ask Andrew if he wants to come up and read the Bible verse. It's actually not a Bible verse, it's like a whole chapter of scripture today. Don't stress, it doesn't go for too long. But he's going to read out scripture for us today. But you might like to follow along on the screens, or you might have a Bible with you or on your phone that you'd like to follow along. So Andrew, you want to come up?
Okay, Genesis 39, reading from the New Living Translation. When Joseph was taken to Egypt by the Ishmaelite traders, he was purchased by Potiphar, an Egyptian officer. Potiphar was captain of the guard for Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. The Lord was with Joseph, so he succeeded in everything he did as he served in the home of his Egyptian master. Potiphar noticed this and realized that the Lord was with Joseph, giving him success in everything he did. This pleased Potiphar, so he soon made Joseph his personal attendant. He put him in charge of his entire household and everything he owned. From that day, Joseph was put in charge of his master's household and property. The Lord began to bless Potiphar's household for Joseph's sake. All his household affairs ran smoothly, and his crops and livestock flourished. Soon Potiphar gave Joseph complete administrative responsibility over everything he owned. With Joseph there, he didn't worry about a thing, except what kind of food to eat. Joseph was a very handsome and well-built young man, and Potiphar's wife soon began to look at him lustfully. "Come and sleep with me," she demanded. But Joseph refused. "Look," he told her, "my master trusts me with everything in his entire household. No one here has more authority than I do. He has held back nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How could I do such a wicked thing? It would be a great sin against God." She kept putting pressure on Joseph day after day, but he refused to sleep with her and he kept out of her way as much as possible. One day, however, no one else was around when he went in to do his work. She came and grabbed him by his cloak, demanding, "Come on, sleep with me." Joseph tore himself away, but he left his cloak in her hand as he ran from the house. When she saw that she was holding his cloak and he had fled, she called out to his servants. Soon all the men came running. "Look," she said, "my husband has brought this Hebrew slave here to make fools of us. He came into my room to rape me, but I screamed. When he heard me scream, he ran outside and got away, but he left his cloak behind with me." She kept the cloak with her until her husband came home. Then she told him her story. "That Hebrew slave you brought into our house tried to come in and fool around with me," she said. "But when I screamed, he ran outside, leaving his cloak with me." Potiphar was furious when he heard his wife's story about how Joseph had treated her. So he took Joseph and threw him into the prison where the king's prisoners were held. And there he remained. But the Lord was with Joseph in the prison and showed him his faithful love. And the Lord made Joseph a favorite with the prison warden. Before long, the warden put Joseph in charge of all the other prisoners and over everything that happened in the prison. The warden had no more worries because Joseph took care of everything. The Lord was with him and caused everything he did to succeed. That's it.
Thanks, Andrew. Wow, this story reminds the Bible Days of Our Lives kind of episode. Or as I often say to the boys when they're watching wrestling, I feel like this could be like a wrestling script or something. It's like drama. It's like got all of this drama that happens into it. And this was kind of the this amount of drama seemed to kind of follow Joseph his entire life. Like it seemed to be this up and down, and if you were following along in our readings this week, you would have read through, I think it's from within four chapters in Genesis, where it goes through all of the things that happened to Joseph. So we're just going to focus in on this one story today, because I think in this one story, it looks at Joseph's high highs and his low lows, and we can kind of see how Joseph was in all of those things. And as Pastor Owen's been saying through this series, it's about really learning from these characters in the Bible, learning from them as to look at our own lives and say, what what are we learning about God in this? What could we learn about ourselves in these stories? And then how can we apply that to our lives? So I'm going to give you kind of the punchline right from the beginning today. The thing, the takeaway that I would love you to go out the door with today is this. Without God, the most prosperous of circumstances are worthless. But with God, even the worst forms of adversity are given value. So I'm going to say that again. Without God, even the most prosperous of circumstances are worthless. But with God, even the worst forms of adversity are given value. I wonder if you've had that experience in your life. Now, as we look at the beginning of this, these verses, if we look at, if you can put it back up, Joe, if you like, or whoever's up there, up the back. I said this a couple of weeks ago, the beautiful thing about the Old Testament, we can read these stories and we can kind of just read through them in our English language and we can miss so many of the subtleties of the way that, I'm kind of nerding out here a little bit, I can be a little bit of a literature nerd when it comes to things like this, but the hidden little subtleties in the way that things are written and what messages that they give us right from the beginning. And one beautiful thing about the Old Testament is often when stories are introduced, they kind of have these passages like this. You know, when Joseph was taken to Egypt by the Ishmaelite traders, he was purchased by Potiphar, an Egyptian officer. Potiphar was captain of the guard of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, just kind of setting the scene. And we can just read through that. Oh, like, well, great, these are all the characters. This is who we need to know here. But the beautiful thing, again, about Old Testament and the Hebrew language is that each one of those names is telling us a little piece of information. So each one of these names has a meaning attached to it. And people reading this and people hearing this story would have got a picture of what this whole story of Joseph was about in these opening two sentences. They would have gone, ah, this is what God's trying to tell us. This is the lesson that we're meant to learn out of this. This is how we can apply it to our life. So if we look at this, and we're going to kind of unpack this a little bit to see what this is straight up. So the word Joseph, the name Joseph, means mercy adds, or mercy was added. Mercy adds. Was taken to Egypt. Egypt was kind of the symbol for, it actually meant double distress. Double distress. So we've got mercy adds, we've got double distress. The Ishmaelite traders, the word Ishmaelite means God hears, or the one who hears from God. And then Potiphar, the name Potiphar, meant one who ascended from the gods, one who belonged to the gods and descended. So you've got all of these names in here that are rich in meaning. And if you put them together as how the Hebrew people would have read this, it kind of, and then translated into those meanings into English, this is what it would have said. Mercy was added via the hand of the one who heard God as he descended into double distress. So I'm going to read that again. Mercy was added at the hand of one who heard God as he descended into double distress. This church is the theme of this story, that as Joseph descended into double distress, mercy was there. Mercy was part of the story. So as the story unfolds, this would have been the backdrop and the understanding of which people hearing this story would have applied this to their lives. So we go on to verse 2. It says, the Lord was with Joseph. And I don't know if you noticed as Andrew was reading that phrase, the Lord was with Joseph, it bookends this story. It's at the beginning and it's at the end, that the Lord was with Joseph. And that phrase is something that was said about Abraham, it was said about Isaac. We've kind of unpacked those stories over the last couple of weeks. There was something about Joseph that in his high highs and in his low lows, people looked at him and went, but the Lord is with you. Something is different about you. There's something that's tangible and visible that is different. Even if they didn't know God, they said, there's something different about you. It says the Lord was with Joseph, so he succeeded in everything that he did. Now, it didn't go the other way around. It didn't say Joseph succeeded in everything that he did, so the Lord was with him. It said the Lord was with him. There was something different about him. And even in any circumstance, whether it be his high highs or his low lows, there was something successful about the way Joseph journeyed through life. It wasn't just because he was an all-round great guy. I mean, it does say he was pretty handsome. I think it says, what does it say? He was, we'll get to it in a minute. He was a very handsome and well-built young man. So that just came naturally to him. But that wasn't what they were talking about. It wasn't that he was just this naturally charismatic guy. There was something different about him. And I think that he understood, because all these stories before that had come to this point, he'd come to an understanding that it wasn't necessarily his gifting and his talent that got him this favor, that it was a gift from God. And then within that gift, he had an opportunity to apply his talent and his own giftings, but he had to take that opportunity and choose, am I going to use whatever God's positioning that he's putting me in? Am I going to apply what I can bring to the table into this situation? So I wonder, see, we've had a bit of a sharing. You can just kind of throw out answers to me if you like. How would you define success? Or how do you think the world around us defines success? What's the first words that come to your mind as you think of the word success? Just throw things, not literally throw things at me, throw words at me. Power, wealth, influence. What else? Favor. Yep, like having a following, yep. If you look at someone and go, they're successful, what have they got? What shows you they're successful in life? Good job. Intelligent. Yep, so education even. Yep. Possessions, yep. Yep, maybe good house, good car, good, you know, bank account, all of those things can be seen as something that's really successful. All these things that we look at and go, so when we read this and say, well, Joseph, he was successful in everything that he did, we could think, okay, well, is it because he earned lots of money? Is it because he had influence? Is it because he, you know, had good relationships with people? What was it that was actually successful about who Joseph was? And I think for me, going through different stages of life, my version of success, I think, has changed. I think when I was young, probably coming out of school into my early 20s, success for me was making a mark on the world. You know, like to be successful was to make a mark. To be successful was to... I had a fear of being mediocre in anything. Like to be successful was to be the best. Like to be successful was to aim high, to succeed, to apply myself to things. And that's, you know, that's nothing wrong with those things. But I think as I've got older, I think instead of having a fear of being mediocre, I think I now have a fear of being successful, because it just would be overwhelming and take up all my life. I'm quite content with the quiet life now. But and I think that might change for us over different periods of our life and depending on what different stages we're in. But I wonder, how would you define success? Because if we think of it in terms of money or freedom or influence or friendship or relationship or, you know, possessions, all of the things that we've been talking about, Joseph may have had these things, but we also know Joseph was stripped of all of these things throughout his life. It went on in the story and he was thrown into prison. All these things were stripped away from him. And I think that it's, I don't know about you, but I think in adversity, we discover the real meaning of success, or we're introduced to God's version of what success really is. You know, in the world, success can mean wealth and freedom, but as I've said, in this story and in the story of Joseph's life, all those things were stripped away from him. And I came across this quote this week. It said, if like Joseph, we have trusted our journey to God, we will become successful even in our adversity, not by possessing the wealth of the world, but by carrying the honor of the world to come. Being not successful by possessing things, not successful by possessing the wealth of the world or that relationship or that house or that job or that education or anything like that, but by carrying the honor of the world to come. And I think this is found right in the midst of adversity, when sometimes when things are stripped away from us, when things don't become as sure in our life, we come to this point, we're like, well, what is success here? What does it look like? Am I a failure if I've lost my job? Am I a failure if I didn't come first in this? Or am I a failure if I don't have the relationship that I wanted to have? Am I a failure if, you know, I didn't get that promotion or whatever it is? Does that equal success? Or as God's showing in this invitation, is it about something else? Is it not about the getting or the possessing something, but about carrying the honor of the world to come, carrying the kingdom in how we walk through adversity? You know, God was with Joseph in his ups and in his downs. And sometimes that meant that things went really great. We love that, hey? When things all fall into place, how good does it feel? When things just happen and we get a roll on and we get that job and we, whatever it is, and we say, oh, God, thank you. Like, we can be thankful for all of those things. But what about when it's at the other end? What about the low lows? Because for Joseph, sometimes being God being with him, the presence of God being with him was demonstrated through his character. And it was contrary to the culture or to the circumstances or what looked like success. Joseph had contentment when he should have felt anxiety. Joseph had diligence when there was the temptation of taking shortcuts. Joseph showed self-control when he had a chance to be reactive. Like, I'm that person. I can be reactive. I can. And Joseph was showing something in adversity. Is it good to be reactive or is it good to have self-control? He showed love when he could have showed hate and resentment or obligation. You know, it says that even though we can look at this situation where he was in Potiphar's house and he was, you know, given all this stuff, but he was still a slave. He was still in captivity in that space. And yet it says he served Potiphar. He served him. And that word serve doesn't mean that he just did what he had to do to get by and survive. It was that he diligently ministered to Potiphar and his family. He did it out of love. He did not out of obligation or resentment or even survival. Joseph showed consistency when it could have been chaotic. He showed trustworthiness when he could have been unreliable and he could have tried to get ahead and be dishonest. And it goes on in verse 5, it says, the Lord began to bless Potiphar's household for Joseph's sake. You know, by very virtue of his name, Joseph, which means mercy adds, Joseph was adding something to somebody else by having this presence of God, by having God with him, about choosing this different version of success and choosing to walk in it every day. That began to flow over and bless the people around him. And I wonder, would that be true of your life? What do you add to others because of the way that you walk through ease and good times, but also the way that you walk through adversity? What do people notice about you in the high highs of your life and in the low lows of your life? You know, as I mentioned before at the end of verse 6, it says, Joseph was a very handsome and well-built young man. The word there for very handsome is yaffa yaffa. So maybe that'll become a new thing. I don't know. I think the people can walk around going yaffa yaffa. I don't know. It just, that means he was very, very, very handsome. He was a handsome man. This is where we start to see that it starts to be a little bit more of a Days of Our Lives plot than anything else. But you know, all of this walking with God and God being with him could have just been easy when it was going so well. And he couldn't help it that he was so good looking. He couldn't help it that people looked. But you know what? It can also be so easy to do this when things are going well. But what about in adversity? Because this, his high high very quickly turned into a low low. And it was these, in this area of things that seemed to come pretty easy to him. It wasn't in there, like he wasn't trying. I mean, it doesn't talk about the fact that he got up hours earlier before sunrise and got himself looking good. He just kind of was. And it wasn't anything that he was doing wrong necessarily, but it can be the things that come easy to us that can become a point of weakness. It can be the place where our guard can be let down. You know, we see this. We see this in politicians. We see this in high-profile leaders. We see this in our footy players. We see this in a lot of different areas of life. It seems like when people are given things on a silver platter, what's the common story? That when things seem to be really high, had these high highs, and people are given wealth and freedom and all these things that the world would say is success, what can tend to happen is that that can also be the place of weakness, the place where your guard can come down, the place that a temptation can sneak in, or the place where you can kind of get thrown off course really, really quickly because you don't expect it. You know, in Jewish tradition, Joseph is called a righteous man. He's called a righteous man. And this kind of suggests that he just breezed through this trial. That he was like, oh, Potiphar's wife, off you go. I'm not taking any notice of you. Sometimes we can read it like that. But actually the text and the way that it's written suggests something different. Even in Hebrew text, by the inclusion of this speech that he made, where he made to Potiphar's wife, where he said, look, you know, my master trusts me with everything in my entire household. Like, how, we can't do this. This isn't right. Even the fact that it includes this out loud speech to Potiphar's wife is indicative of an internal struggle that he was having. He was trying to convince himself as much as he was trying to convince Potiphar's wife that it wasn't the right thing to do. He was slowly being worn down. You know, the word says in verse 10, it says that day after day, there was this time of taunting, this enduring, this temptation. He was kind of being worn down by adversity. He was on the verge of losing self-control. He was on the verge of losing control of his emotions. He felt eroded by this situation. You know, like adversity, in adversity, we can discover the real meaning of success. Adversity can also be a teacher. You know, when things are hard, I don't know about you, but when things are hard, we tend to learn so much. And it's such a common story, isn't it? We look back on a hard time of our life and go, I'd never want to go through it again. But I learned so much. I learned so much about myself. I learned so much about God. I learned so much about others, whatever it is. It humbles us. It brings us to breaking point. We can say things like, you know, life is short. We come to this understanding through adversity that there is a fragility. We often hear people say, through that I really discovered what matters. You know, have you heard all of these things before? We come face to face with who we are and consider who we want to be. Adversity has that ability to do that for us. We come face to face with who we are and we kind of look and consider, well, who do I want to be? Adversity can be such a teacher. You know, Joseph, it says that he refused Potiphar's wife. But even those words, he refused. The Hebrew word for that, it only occurs four times in the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. And it's always used with a sense of hesitancy. The person who refused or the person who pushed back did it hesitantly. Like there was this struggle going on the inside. There was an urge to do right, but there was such a struggle to overcome and do the right thing. So Joseph was in the midst of adversity. It was wearing him down. There was a struggle. There was this internal battle that when things were going really well and he's like, God is with me and things are going well and it's looking successful. And then this thing happened, this adversity happened, and this internal struggle came up right in the midst of that. And he had to walk through that. So I wonder, what is your Potiphar's wife? What is your situation? What is your adversity that, you know what, it just wears you down? What is that temptation that just keeps coming back day after day and you just feel wearied by it? What are the things that are trying to trip you up and don't seem to go away? It might be someone lying, like lies in the life, or mocking you, or accusations, or someone shifting blame, or just relationship issues, or defaming you, or just this point of temptation that just does not seem to go away. And some days you just go, is it just easier to give in? Is it just easier to give in? Are there things that pop up in your life that take you to that place where you make a choice to say, am I just going to reach out and possess things? Am I just going to reach out and possess the immediate relief that could come from me just taking this direction, this pleasure, this thing, this possession, this way of kind of getting this feeling off my back? Or do I continue to carry the honor of God in this situation? It's an internal wrestle, it's an internal struggle, and every single one of us comes to that crossroad somewhere in our life. So right in the middle of this, we jump to verse 21. Again, it says, but the Lord was with Joseph in the prison and showed him his faithful love. So originally at the beginning, the first bookend was that God was with Joseph, so he succeeded. This time it says God was with Joseph still in the middle of the struggle and just showed him his faithful love. God was with him in both his high highs and his low lows, in his ease and in his adversity. And it brings me back to that original little phrase that I said, without God, the most prosperous of circumstances are worthless. They seem great at the time. They can be fun, let's be honest. But looking at the span of our life, looking at eternity, without God, the most prosperous situations can be worthless. But with God, even the worst forms of adversity are given value. Where is the value in those things? It wasn't through his release. You know, Bible scholars think that Joseph was actually in prison for about 10 to 12 years. It didn't say, and God was with Joseph and released him from prison immediately. Or God was with Joseph and shone a light on the injustice of the lies that were being told against him. No, it took 10 years for even Joseph to begin to see a light of where he may have got out of prison. The gift here, the value, was with the faithfulness and the constancy of God's presence. I wonder here, church, whether you can hold on to that, whether you believe that. To you, is that worth more? Is that valuable in your life? Is that worth more to you than all the other possessions of the world? And maybe that's something that God would love to speak to your heart about today and say, where is your value? Where is the what you hold on to, what you value? Is it in the possessions or is it in the carrying the honor of the world to come? You know, Joseph didn't possess the wealth and success of the world. He had it, but then he lost it. He experienced both. But to carry the honor of the world to come meant that he had a consistency in his character. He had something on the inside that said, you know what? This isn't fun. I preferred when I was living in the palace. I preferred when I had the possessions. I preferred when Potiphar looked at me with favorable eyes. I prefer when the things were going well. But I can have a consistency of character. And even in prison, it talks about that he won favor with people. Again, it wasn't because he was just such a great guy. It was the consistency of his character. He served well. He treated people well. He carried the honor of God. He carried the honor of the kingdom to come. He had a consistency of trust. He had to ask himself, is this worth it? Because this wasn't the only low that Joseph had in his life. By this stage, he'd probably be thinking, God, again? Like, am I here again? And I wonder if you've ever said that to God. God, are we here again? Is it worth it? Is the value of God's presence with you worth it? He had a consistency even in the struggle. So I wonder if you want to grab your communion out. And we're just going to take communion together before we close today. So Wanda, just before we take it with her, I just invite you just to close your eyes where you are. And I want you to just think about where you're at in your life. What's your circumstances like? Would you put them on the side of the ease or on the side of adversity? What's going on for you? And I believe God's invitation for us today is to ask the question, is it worth it? Is God's presence with you in those times? Is making the choice to carry the honor of God rather than possessing the things of the world? Is it worth it? I just want to read over you as you sit with God on that. I just want to read over you from Proverbs chapter 3. It says, trust in the Lord with all of your being. Don't rely on your own intellect. In all of your ways you walk, in thought and speech and action, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight the paths you walk on, the direction in which you are heading. And as we take communion, as we remember the sacrifice of Jesus and everything He did for us through His birth and His life and His death and His resurrection, in the body and the blood that was shed for us, I just want to speak over you the whole meaning, the whole premise of this story is that mercy is added to you by the one who hears God, by Jesus Himself, who stands on your behalf in ease and in adversity, even when you descend into double distress. Mercy is added to you. It is in Christ that we know, even in adversity, those circumstances are given value, and it's because of His presence with you. And you know what? You might look back on your life, you might be thinking right in the middle of circumstances right now, and you might say, you know what? I haven't carried the honor of God. I've been grasping for the possessions. I've been putting down the honor of God. I've been putting down the honor of the kingdom. I've been putting down the things of the world to come and the things that I know I should be carrying because honestly, I'm just tired and I've needed to pick up the things that feel good right now. I've needed to pick up the things that soothe what's going on right now. Well, church, I'd say now is the time to just come back and to pick up again the honor of God. Pick up again to carry the things of the world to come, because forgiveness is yours. We have a graceful, merciful, kind God. He's not holding that against you. He's saying, come, come again. Now is the time in Christ to come back to Christ, to know what He's done for you, to pick that up again. And He's saying, He is with you. In your high highs, in your low lows, He's calling you to carry the honor of the world to come. So I invite you now to eat and drink and just be thankful for His presence with you. God, we thank you that just as this, as in this story with Joseph, that you bookend our ease and our adversity with the truth that you are with us, that you stand with us, not because we deserve it, not because there's something great about us and you decide to jump on board our life because you know it's a good, sure thing, God, but that you are with us and that you give us this opportunity to partner with you, to carry the things of your kingdom, to carry the things of the world to come, and you give us this opportunity to carry them into this broken world, into our lives, to be something that's tangibly and visibly different to the people around us, even though we are walking through hard things. God, we can only do that because of you. Again, we don't do that in our own strength. God, we pray right now that through this time with you, as we remember Jesus in this moment, that it is because of Jesus that we can have the strength to walk out and to choose the way of the world to come, to carry the honor that you have bestowed upon your Son has been bestowed upon us, God. We thank you for that. I pray for anybody in this room, God, who's just right in the midst of adversity, where it's wearing them down, where there's this internal struggle that says, I don't know if it's worth it. I don't know if I can keep taking these steps. I don't know if I want to keep putting one step in forward in front of the other and continuing down this path of the things of God. And there's temptation and it's wearing them down and it's eroding kind of their, even their thought of, well, is this the right thing to do? Is it worth it? God, I'd pray right now that you'd meet each one of us in that space, that you would shine your light of truth, God, that you would shine just a strength and a new mercy, just as Joseph, you know, the image of Joseph, that you would add mercy to that because of your Son, Jesus. That you would pick us up again, that you would lift our eyes towards you and say, it's worth it. There is so much value in carrying the honor of the things to come, God. And we thank you. We thank you that you can pick us up out of those situations, that you can help us develop a character, a grit, a thing that on the inside of us, because of knowing who you are, can say, yeah, this isn't great, this doesn't feel good, but I'm going to continue just step by step to be consistent in the way that I look to you, God. So we thank you. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from our church. We pray that you feel empowered by what you've heard today. We hope you stay connected by following us online. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at C3 Camden, or visit our website at www.c3camden.church.